Welcome to Whistleblower Network News. I am your host, Jane Turner, FBI whistleblower and advocate. It is our honor to share with you these experiences of real-life heroes and people of integrity. I am very excited today to have on someone who is critically important in the country of Mexico. Her name is Angelis Estrada, and she is a Mexican lawyer specializing in transparency and anti-corruption. She is the executive director of the Transparency and Anti-Corruption Initiative of the School of Social Science, one of the most important and renowned institutions in Latin America. We are really lucky to have you on the program. I am just thrilled. Talk to our listeners who are around the world about your law career, your organization, and the work you do for whistleblowing in Mexico. How did you get into the whistleblower advocacy field?
Thank you, Jane. Hello to you and to everyone listening to the Whistleblower of the Week. Well, as you said, I am a Mexican lawyer. I have dedicated my career to the pursuit of transparency, anti-corruption, and other subjects related. Most recently, maybe 6 years ago or so, I have been obsessed with the empowerment of whistleblowers in Mexico. But let me tell you more about my professional background. So,
yes, please.
I have a law degree from a Mexican university, where I later returned as a visiting professor, teaching subjects such as culture of lawfulness, anti-corruption, and the influence of civil society in these both subjects, in both of these subjects. I also did a master's in international public law at the Fletcher School of Law of the Tufts University in Massachusetts. I have been working in between my master's and my bachelor's. I worked for almost 9 years for the Transparency and Data Protection Institute of Mexico that was recently created in 2003. So I witnessed the creation of a federal agency, as well as the drafting of internal regulation, interpretative criteria, secondary laws. And of course, I was part of the first generation of young public servants that implemented for the first time in the history of the country the legislation to protect and guarantee the right to access to public information and the protection of personal data. Wow. Then, just before I went to Fletcher, I worked for the International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Agency in the U.S. Embassy of Mexico City. And in that precise moment, INL was implementing the Merida Initiative. Do you remember the Merida Initiative? It was also known as the Plan Mexico. And it was a security cooperation agreement between the United States and Mexico, as well as other Central American countries, that aimed to address and combat drug trafficking, organized crime, and violence in the region. And I worked as a specialist in the fourth pillar. The name was Building Stronger and More Resilient Communities Against Violence. This pillar was explicitly requested by President Obama on his first administration because it was not previously seen as an important issue as the plan of as part of the Merida Initiative. And within that pillar was the program of Culture of Lawfulness, where I worked for almost 3 years. And there, Jane, I think that there was where I faced for the first time in my life the problem of the whistleblowers that were completely abandoned, not just from the legislation, but from the creation and implementation of civic programs. Whistleblowers were taken for granted, In fact, they were not taking into account, even though the information regarding situations of corruption, crime, and violence that the Mexican authorities received were thanks to a whistleblower. And after that, I became determined to address this issue because as I said, it struck me deeply that those who risk their safety and livelihoods to expose corruption and crime were left completely unsupported and vulnerable.
Yes. Yes. That is wonderful. And people like you are needed to be advocates for whistleblowers because it's such a hard area. And what does your work look like on the ground? What are the aims? Yeah.
Yeah, so currently I am the director of the Transparency, Anti-Corruption and Digitalization Initiative of the School of Social Science of the Tecnológico de Monterrey, as you said, a very prestigious university in Mexico and in Latin America. And there I have initiated the outreach efforts to raise awareness about the importance of whistleblowers in combating corruption and crime, through collaborating with civil society organizations and legal experts and government agencies. And what I want to do is to garner support for reforming existing laws and policies. So in my role as a whistleblower advocate, I work to create platforms for dialogue, for exchanging ideas and action, whether through my academic courses or specialized workshops or book presentations. I aim to raise awareness and foster understanding of the complexities surrounding the whistleblower subject. But by the way, Jane, I'd like to take a moment to extend a special invitation to anyone who will be in Mexico City during the first week of April to join us for the presentation of Stephen Kohn's latest book, The Rules for Whistleblowers, a handbook for doing what's right. The event will take place on April the 3rd at 5 p.m. in the School of Government. And if you want further information, please follow us on our Twitter. It's at ITAC, it's ITAC underscore tech. We look forward to welcoming you to this insightful discussion. So central to my work is the recognition of the underdeveloped nature of the whistleblowing discourse in Mexico. This lack of development stems from cultural and historical factors, of course, but it's also together with a general lack of political will to address this issue. Yet within spaces like the Transparency and Anti-Corruption Initiative, I have found a unique opportunity to confront these challenges because we have cultivated a hybrid space that merges academic inquiry with practical action. So we engage in rigorous research and analysis, of course, while simultaneously we design and implement social projects aimed at driving meaningful change regarding this subject. So within this dynamic environment, free from the influence of partisan politics, I believe that we can foster constructive dialogue and collaboration. Also by leveraging the resources and expertise available within the initiative, within the university, we can confront the challenges. I think that we can confront the challenges surrounding whistleblowers from the legal frameworks to cultural attitudes. I think that we can address every aspect of this issue comprehensively within the protection of the university, right? Within the protection of an academic balloon that protects us from people that maybe can or want to make how do you say that, to make a profit from this, a political profit, basically, from this subject. So ultimately, my goal is, how can I say, to catalyze a paradigm shifting how whistleblowing is perceived and practiced in Mexico. I do believe that together with other experts, we can create a society where whistleblowers are valued and also protected.
Wow. I'm just impressed with that. I know Stephen Cohn, and you can't get any better whistleblower attorney in the world better than him. So I'm excited for you. I think this is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can't get down there.
Yeah, sure.
Tell me how the legal system in Mexico treats whistleblowers. By you mentioning the fact of how they look at them, is it the concept of their snitches, that they're, you know, do they give those usual pejorative, awful names to whistleblowers in Mexico? They do.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, in Mexico, whistleblowers continue to lack recognition within both legal frameworks and public policies. And unfortunately, the act of whistleblowing remains socially stigmatized. They are often viewed as traitors. No?
Oh.
This practice and, I mean, we have to understand where does this come from.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the 20th century, Mexico operated under a paternalistic and a presidential system where information was not shared with citizens. Basically because citizens, we were children, naive, ignorant, while the authorities were experienced and educated and wise. So as a result, abuses of power and corruption were often not revealed, perpetrating a sense of impunity among officials and fostering a culture where loyalty to the government was highly valued. So it was not until the year 2000, with Mexico's transition to a democratic political system, that the concept of public service began to shift. And citizens, we began to recognize that government officials are appointed to serve us, to serve the public interest, and to manage the public resources on behalf of us, on behalf of the people. Also, this shift brought the idea that information held by public officials should be accessible to the public, simply because it's a matter of public interest. So while transparency and accountability have made some strides in Mexico since then, the issue of whistleblowers and their role in exposing corruption and malfeasance is only beginning to be addressed. So as a result, Mexican legislation regarding whistleblowers' protection is scant, and the protection afforded to whistleblowers are minimal at best. Incentives for whistleblowers are virtually non-existent. The technological advancement in whistleblower reporting have been slow to materialize. While some authorities have developed reporting mechanisms, these systems often fail to provide information, to provide adequate anonymity for whistleblowers, with at most a promise of confidentiality for the information provided. So, like, to answer how the Mexican legal system treats whistleblowers, I would say, unfortunately, it doesn't. Whistleblowers in Mexico continue to face significant risks and obstacles when speaking out against wrongdoing, with little to no legal or institutional support to protect them from retaliation or ensure their voices are heard. Regarding my experience with whistleblowers, for instance, since I have dedicated myself to this topic, I have met several whistleblowers here in Mexico, Mexican whistleblowers, who to this day do not recognize themselves as whistleblowers. They continue to think that it was a mistake to report because their professional life was over.
Yes.
Because right now, no one trusts them anymore. And in several cases, their families have also abandoned them because the social effect of reporting continues to be socially overwhelming. And of course, they are people with many needs for psychological treatment, with strong needs for legal and economic support, among other things.
You know, this is the same struggle that we have here in the United States. We are campaigning, the advocates and allies and whistleblowers themselves, that whistleblowers are people of integrity. They're heroes. And so I understand this fight you're in. I'm curious about your safety and the safety of whistleblowers down there. Can you tell us what the current situation is in that area?
Well, here in Mexico, if for instance, as in the United States, you have a lot of people, of examples that currently that are whistleblowers and that are currently well known as whistleblowers. Here in Mexico, we have nobody. Like if you want to find a name of a whistleblower in Mexico, you're not gonna find not even one. So the thing is that in Mexico, the space that the whistleblowers have left is covered by the journalists, is covered by people that work in media. And as you know, Mexico is the second, I think that is the first one right now, is the first most violent and yes. dangerous country for journalists.
Yes.
So it has been, I mean, it is very difficult here in Mexico to be a whistleblower openly. Basically, because what you see is that people die when they show what is happening. So, I mean, we need to change the system. Of course, we have to do a lot of things later. I have yes. this answer, and it's an automatic answer that I have when I am asked, like, what do we need to change to the Mexican system? We need to change a lot of things, but specifically, we need to change, of course, legislative reforms. We have to enhance protections, incentives, but most important maybe is the civic society engagement. Right now, this is very important because civil society can play a critical role in monitoring the implementation of whistleblower protection measures and advocating for further reforms as needed. So engaging civil society organizations and fostering partnership with advocacy groups can help to amplify the voices of the whistleblowers and advocate for their rights.
So do you ever fear for your safety personally?
Not at all. No,
not at all.
I think not at all. My work right now is to create spaces for dialogue, right? And in these dialogues, I bring all the parties together, like not just academics, but civil society, politicians, people from the public administration, everyone interested in this subject, or at least what they say that they are interested. But I mean, right now, the subject is very underdeveloped. We haven't touched already the moment in which the people that advocate for this subject are in danger.
Ah, interesting. And I just have to, again, commend you for being an advocate and an ally. I mean, in the United States, you know, we often say that the life of a whistleblower, it's a lifetime sentence. And it sounds like in Mexico, it can be a death sentence.
Exactly.
But let's not kid ourselves. That's yeah. correct, right?
That's true. That's true. Oh. That's completely true.
Oh. Yeah. How do you think the culture around whistleblowing is shifting in Mexico, or is it?
Well, I mean, while progress has been made in recent years, particularly with the increased awareness of corruption issues, the culture surrounding whistleblowing in Mexico is still evolving and faces significant challenges, as as I said, there are signs of a gradual shift in attitudes toward whistleblowers, driven in part by growing public demand for transparency and accountability in government and in other sectors, of course. But civil society organization and media and journalists and advocacy groups have played a crucial role in raising awareness about the importance of whistleblowers in exposing corruption and wrongdoings. However, I would say that entrenched cultural norms and historical factors continue to hinder the full acceptance of whistleblowing in Mexican society. I mean, the stigma associated with whistleblowing persists, with whistleblowers often facing social ostracism, professional repercussions, and even threats to their safety and their lives. So moreover, the lack of, how can I say that, of legal protections and institutional support for whistleblowers exacerbates these challenges. Like it makes even more difficult for individuals to come forward with information about wrongdoing. So I mean, despite these obstacles, I think that there are reasons for cautious optimism as more cases of corruption are exposed in Mexico. Yes. And some of them, very few in fact, are prosecuted. There is a growing recognition of the vital role that whistleblowers play in holding power to account and safeguarding the public interests.
Hi, we'll be right back with more of Whistleblower of the Week after a quick message from one of our whistleblower friends. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Austin Handel, also known as Officer Ash on social media and as the Dunwoody Whistleblower and the Vice Chair of the Lamplighter Project. Leading whistleblower attorney Stephen Cohn's latest book, Rules for Whistleblowers, A Handbook for Doing What's Right, is the ultimate guide to blowing the whistle. Rules for Whistleblowers is an easy-to-read, essential tool for anyone curious about whistleblowing. The book lays out 35 rules to help whistleblowers navigate the complex and dangerous world of whistleblowing. Subscribers to the Whistleblower News Network can also receive 35% off a copy of this indispensable resource. Visit whistleblowersblog.org/rules for whistleblowers to learn more.
Amazing. And you're familiar, obviously, with what is going on up here in the States, and you must be familiar with the economic ability to recover vast sums that whistleblowers can accomplish through, you know, the legislation. Does Mexico realize the possibilities of that?
Currently, right now, I haven't heard that these kind of incentives would be included in a future legislation. So if let me talk about what I think that needs to change, right, in the Mexican system. First of all, as I said, the legislation, right, the legal framework for whistleblowers protection needs to be significantly strengthened, and this includes inactive comprehensive legislation that clearly defines who is a whistleblower, the rights and protections afforded to whistleblowers, establish procedures for reporting wrongdoings, and to outline mechanisms for investigating and addressing retaliation against whistleblowers. That's the first thing. Then the protections, these may involve measures such as prohibiting retaliation against whistleblowers, providing them with ways for anonymous reporting and offering support services such as legal assistance and counseling and psychological assistance. Those are things that should be included also in the legislation. Regarding the incentives, I mean, this could include financial rewards, such as in the United States. But I mean, if we don't want to include that, let's include job security guarantees, right? or other forms of recognition for whistleblowers who expose corruption or malfeasance. Here in Mexico, to pay someone to give someone a reward because you report a corruption act or a crime is not well seen, right? It's like we're paying you for doing what you should do as a good citizen. But yes. I mean, let's be clear and let's not be naive. We need incentives.
Yes.
Basically, because of the danger that a whistleblower faces when they come up to talk and to expose wrongdoings. So I am a convinced person that we need financial rewards, not just other kind of recognitions. It's fine, other kind of recognitions, but we need financial rewards. Of course, we need to create awareness. We need to create some educational campaigns that help to debunk the stigma associated with whistleblowers. We have to strengthen the capacity of the government because right now they don't have it. I mean, we have to build capacity among government agencies and institutions responsible for investigating and addressing whistleblower reports. We have to create technology. I mean, we have to invest in technology, implementing secure and user-friendly online reporting platforms that facilitate anonymous reporting and ensure the confidentiality of whistleblowers. I mean, overall, Mexico requires a coordinated and multifaceted approach that addresses legal and institutional and cultural and technological barriers that we face right now.
Wow. And it sounds like you're at the forefront. I mean, you are leading the charge. You know, the issues you have just explained are the same ones Whistleblowers UK are confronting and working with their parliament. We've talked to people in Africa. Do you have any politicians on your side who you can pick up the phone and talk to and say, hey, what about this? Where is our country headed here? Do you have any patron saints for whistleblowers there in politics?
Unfortunately, we haven't found one. I mean, we have looked for them, but like really they are not interested, but politically the subject is not, they don't give them the dividends they need politically, right? So for instance, right now we have an upcoming election in Mexico and neither of the candidates have expressed particular interest toward the whistleblowers subject. I mean, nothing at all. All of them mention the subject of anti-corruption, but they don't express particular attitudes toward whistleblowers. So unfortunately, and because of the inexistent attention this issue is receiving in the context of the upcoming election, my feeling is that in the coming years, there will be a broader reluctance among politicians to prioritize transparency and accountability in governance, but they are not going to be interested in the subject. I mean, however, it's important. I don't want to be unfair. I mean, it's important to know that the absence of explicit disclosure of explicit discourse on whistleblowing from candidates do not necessarily mean they are opposed to it. It may reflect a gap in their platforms, a big gap, or a failure to recognize the significance, the importance of whistleblowers as a tool for combating corruption and promoting good governance. So I think that it's essential for us, for civil society organizations, for academics, for advocacy groups, and for everyone concerned to persistently urge candidates to prioritize whistleblowing and pledge to enhance protections for whistleblowers. We have to look for them actively, and we have to, sometimes it's very frustrating, but we have to overcome that. We have to keep on doing that, to looking for them and asking them to understand the importance of the whistleblowers in the context of anti-corruption and crime that we live in.
Yes. Yes. I wish I could be a fly on the wall when you and Stephen Cohn get together. That conversation is going to be so fascinating, so interesting, because between your advocacy and his knowledge, I think incredible things are going to come out of it. I'm serious. I wish I could be a fly on the wall when you meet.
Well, you should come to Mexico to the presentation of the book.
I would love to. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a story on maybe a whistleblower and detail for us the struggle they go through or what they experienced in Mexico?
Yeah, so this is an unknown story, so I'm going to to be like very aware of the names and everything. So
yes,
this was a person, a male, who worked for the government, the federal government. He worked for, he was in charge of overseeing a construction, a huge construction in that specific administration. And he told me that he, when he received the file of the construction, the previous public servant, he told him like, hey, you're going to see here a lot of things that are not correct. Please take care of them. So when he received the file, he started to study the file. And of course, he told me like, I saw a lot of illegal stuff happening. And the first thing that I thought is, okay, I have to inform, right? I have to tell what is happening with the construction that is right now happening. Like in that moment, the construction was still happening. So he went to the agency, to the agency that here in Mexico is in charge of investigating those subjects. And when he was received by the director of that agency, the director told him like, what are you thinking? I mean, this is not what we asked for you to do. You have to finish the construction and you have to remain silent. And not just that, you have to cover, you have to think how to cover all this. Because if not, we're going to make you accountable. You are the one who is going to be maybe accountable for this. He did that. Unfortunately, he chose to remain silent. And right now he's still in a legal battle. Right now is the year number, the 10th year of this legal battle with the government. He's still trying to clean his name. He's still trying to find a job. He's still trying to build again his personal life. And one of the things that struck me when I talked with him was that he told me that when he thought about reporting, the immediate thought that after that he had was, if I report, everyone is going to believe that I'm not efficient, that I'm not doing my job, because my job is to protect the public service. My job is to protect my boss. My job is to protect this administration. And I mean, even though he thought later, like, this is not ethical, it's illegal, it, in the end, he thought, okay, but that is not, those reasons are not that important as being as perceived as an efficient public servant. And here in Mexico, efficiency is seen as that, as continuing doing what the previous public servant was doing, even though is maybe not correct or maybe illegal, or it doesn't matter. You have to continue. That's the culture. Wow. That's the way in which public servants are, understanding what efficiency means.
Wow. What a wonderful presentation of that. Thank you. Is there a community of whistleblowers there? We have found in the States and in the UK, we're quite close with their, you know, whistleblower group, that community is critically important for the protection, for the welfare of whistleblowers. Is there any type of community down there where they can talk to other whistleblowers, interface with them, either there or worldwide? Do they have that?
No, here in Mexico, we don't have that. We do have communities of journalists that have been doing this job, that have been trying to publish and to inform about this. These subjects, of course, they know, like these journalists, they know, they happen to have this information because whistleblowers give them the information. But a community, a whistleblower community as such, we don't have one. We're still thinking that these people are not good people. These people are there because they were traitors, because they snitched someone. So we have to work a lot still with the culture that surrounds the whistleblower subject here in Mexico.
I am really interested in knowing and looking at all the obstacles you're facing, the cultural prejudice you're facing. How in the world do you hang in there? I know how you got interested, but how do you get up every day and say, oh, I'm really enjoying this work? And with everything around you being so negative.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but you know, it's everything in front of me, there's nothing. So it's everything to do, right? And besides that, I have a lot of friends, a lot of colleagues, a lot of people from other universities, advocacy groups, NGOs that are with me, that we have a community, right? We don't have a whistleblowers community, but we have an advocacy whistleblowers community. We have, I'm part of this group of people that is every year is growing here in Mexico that are very interested in the subject, not just because the subject per se is a very interesting subject, but because we see that we have a lot of things to do in front of us, everything, because there's nothing. So yes, frustrating, but at the same time, it's very encouraging. It's very, I mean, to know that maybe you can do something that in a couple of years will be a law, or that you maybe can help someone in a couple of years in the near future, that's encouraging.
You know, I have to say, I see you as a young female Stephen Cohn. He started out the same way with that thinking process, and look what it's evolved into. I see your future as incredibly bright, and I see politicians coming to your door asking, as they advance, you know, political legislation, I just see that in your future. I'm serious. John Clark in South Africa, that's how he started, was with an advocacy group for whistleblowers. Pretty soon he had gotten this community of whistleblowers who now actively talk to each other. And I just see the same thing in you, what you're doing, starting out on this incredible journey. I am just so blown away by you.
Thank you.
And so are you planning, is this going to be your life's adventure? Is this going to be your career path? Are you going to stay with this?
Yes, of course. I mean, this is, I have invested a lot in, of me, of myself in this, of a lot of study, a lot of a lot of money, a lot of things, because this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I mean, and also I want to talk about like the meaning of being a woman in this space, right? Is being a woman in this space of whistleblowers and anti-corruption advocacy is both, is challenging, but it also faces you with a lot of great opportunities. In many contexts, for instance, women have historically, we have been marginalized and underrepresented, and unfortunately, it still happens in Mexico. This is a reality. We often, we're often still very marginalized. However, being a woman in these subjects provides me with a, yes, with a distinct lens through which to view issues of transparency and accountability and whistleblowing. And I mean, maybe in a very strange way, being a woman in Mexico, in the Mexican professional context, is like being a whistleblower, you know?
Yes.
Because
yes.
You suffer from rejection, abuse, discrimination, and you have to learn how to navigate those waters. And you have to often be very brave to raise your voice and report those issues. And I mean, fortunately for me, I have been lucky enough to have bosses, men and women, who have listened to me and supported me and changed things, although this is not always the case, right? So this is the job, this is the path, the professional and personal path that I want to follow from here to the end of my life.
I am so grateful, because whistleblowers need advocates. People of integrity need people like you, because you're so important in the whistleblowing world. I'm just delighted we got to feature you on Whistleblower of the Week. And I hope you don't mind if we follow your career, follow your path as you blaze, you know, through Mexico in leading this fight. I'm just excited for you. I'm excited that Stephen's going down there. I just think you have wonderful things in your future. And I hope that, you know, your personal safety is not affected, because we need you so badly.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jane. Thank you to all the who is listening, the Whistleblower of the Week. I will be honored to be again with you. And of course, I'm very happy to be here. And thank you again for the invitation.
Thank you, Angelis. You have been just a treasure and a joy to interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you for listening. And please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. If you want to read more whistleblower stories, go to www.whistleblowersblog.org. Music by Rachel Kilgore. Editing and booking by Anissa Shake and Victoria Thompson. And a special thanks to our sponsors, Whistleblower Network News. I think you'll find that it's just as hard to stand up tall as it was when you were small.
The truth is hard.